Chapter 19. By the time Claver was coming out of the oven, things were heating up outside the lifter as well. We were back in Winslade's office, where he was looking over incoming reports.
"My helmet's buzzing non-stop," Winslade complained. He glowered as he worked his tapper. "Those things you discovered out there in the forest, how many do you think you saw?"
I shrugged. 13 was the count, but that's only counting the production of a single tree. There might be more. Winslade's expression changed to one of worry.
"No weaponry, right? Just a pack of big, walking bipeds?"
Thinking about the monster I'd witnessed, its power and sudden fury, I didn't want to downplay how dangerous an army of them might be. "We only fought one, but it had just crawled out of its cocoon. Even so, the damn thing killed one of my people before we brought it down. By the way, sir, did we bring any heavy weaponry down from Minotaur on this lifter?"
Winslade eyed me for a second.
"There have been over 100 sightings now. The confirmed reports number half that many. But the aliens haven't moved against us yet. They're maneuvering out there in the forest, just beyond our reach."
"I don't like the sound of that, sir. If they come at us all at once and organized, well, sir, in my opinion, superior firepower may not be enough."
"I'll recall all our patrols," Winslade said after a moment's thought. "No one is to go more than a kilometer from the lifter. We'll force the aliens to march into a killing zone."
I watched in concern as he relayed these orders to Graves and the other Centurions. We had 6 full units of troops now, 600 heavy infantry. He hadn't answered my question about artillery. Maybe there wasn't any. Maybe Turov had wanted to make sure we survived the descent before she committed expensive equipment. If that was the case, we were more screwed than I'd thought. My next move should have been to leave the revival room and rejoin my squad. They were outside preparing fortifications now, and if an army of those things was approaching, I needed to be with them. But before I could excuse myself, Anne contacted us.
"Claver is coming out now. James, would you come help me? I'm in the middle of a shift change on orderlies."
Never having been a fan of this process, I marched down there to help. It was the least I could do. My teeth were gritted for the next few minutes while we delivered a naked, slimy Claver onto a steel pallet. He shivered and mewed. It was almost enough to make me feel sorry for the bastard. Almost.
"He's a good grow, if that can be said about Claver,"
Anne said, letting go of his eyelid. The eyeball underneath rolled away from us, and he snapped that eyelid shut when he was able.
"I don't feel like a good grow,"
he said in a croaking voice. He kept his eyes screwed shut.
"Can you turn off those lights?"
"No,"
Anne told him flatly. Claver chuckled and coughed.
"You get an F in bedside manners, my dear."
Anne hauled him up into a sitting position. Claver hissed. I took his arm and looked meaningfully at Anne.
"I'll take it from here."
She looked doubtfully from Claver to me, then to Winslade, who was just arriving. Winslade had a grim expression on his face. She put her hands on her hips and sighed.
"If you're just going to recycle him again, why do you bother going through all this trouble to mess up my schedule?"
"Because,"
Claver answered, his eyes still squinched tightly.
"They'll doctor the records afterward. A few bad grows, no ID assigned, nothing to show I was ever here."
The funny thing was that Claver might be right. I'd suffered just such a fate a year or so back, when people had wanted to question me. It gave me pause and made me doubt my actions. Was this revenge-related? Claver may have had something to do with the perming of my family, but I couldn't be rock-solid certain of that. Sternly, I told myself we had to do what we had to do. Claver had caused a lot of deaths back on Tau Ceti before this. Hell, he'd even gotten a load of squids, nabs, and saurians killed on Machine World. Half lifting him off the table, I helped him to the lockers where a smart cloth jumper was applied. It wrapped itself over his body, and Winslade made a flicking gesture toward the hatch.
"My office,"
Winslade said. Claver perked up when he heard Winslade's voice.
Is that the venerable Primus?
He asked.
Or perhaps you've been elevated to the rank of tribune by now.
To you, I'm God, Winslade said.
We left the revival chamber, abandoning Anne to her grim work. She looked after us fretfully. I knew she didn't like any kind of mistreatment. She especially felt protective of those she'd returned to life personally. Some part of her brain believed she'd mothered us all, I think. We reached Winslade's office a minute later. Claver was still limping, and he'd only forced his eyes once or twice.
Snap out of it, Claver, Winslade said. We know you're a good grow.
My eyes, they burn this time. You ever get that? Sometimes you can't take light at all. Can you dim the interior?
Winslade and I exchanged glances. It could be true. Fresh-grown eyes were often sensitive, like nerves severed and later re-knit. They sent odd signals to the mind until they settled in. It could be true, sir, I said to Winslade. I've had trouble with my eyes at times. Winslade gave Claver an appraising glance. I noticed Winslade had his sidearm in his hand. After a moment of hesitation, Winslade reached for the light panel. But before he touched the pad and lowered the lights, he reversed himself and jabbed the muzzle of his sidearm into Claver's gut. The prisoner made a woofing sound and coughed. His eyes opened wide and he made choking sounds. Changed your mind, sir? I asked the Primus. Winslade pointed with one thin-boned finger at Claver's hand. I looked down and watched as Claver's hand retreated from my belt.
He went for your weapon when I reached for the lights. You're overconfident with those big muscles of yours, veteran. They won't do you any good at all with your brains splattered on the ceiling.
I nodded tightly.
Thank you, sir.
Winslade prodded Claver methodically with the barrel of his gun.
Let's have a little talk, shall we?
He asked.
What for? You've already made up your minds. Just record my confession or whatever you want, blow my brains out. My eyes really do burn. I'm ready to recycle right now.
What happened aboard the freighter?
Winslade asked.
We were attacked and robbed. It was piracy, plain and simple.
Winslade sighed.
Let's be more specific. Start with your personal story.
He's just going to make something up, I commented.
We'll get to the truth in time, Winslade said dispassionately. But we might as well start with his fabricated version first. I find it's cathartic for some criminals.
Claver looked from one of us to the next. There was no pity in our eyes now. He'd lost all of mine when he tried to grab my gun.
All right,
he said, judging it was time to say his piece.
It was weird, actually. Pod-like things attached themselves to the ship as we left warp. They burned through the hull very quickly. The ship was a freighter. We didn't have much in the way of weapons or troops, just a few onboard marines. My entire crew was overwhelmed and killed. I died on the bridge, giving orders.
Winslade nodded thoughtfully.
What killed you specifically?
Some kind of gas got into the vents. We didn't have our vac suits on, stupid, I know. I think the fumes were created by an acidic fluid the creatures emitted.
That's it?
Winslade asked, his eyebrows lifting high.
Yeah, that's it. To repeat, we came out of warp near Earth, and these pod creatures jumped us. Then I died. I don't know what happened after that.
You lost the shipment, I said. The freighter crashed into the spaceport and killed about 30,000 people.
30,000?
Claver asked, impressed.
At least. Many of them were permed. Two legions were in attendance to ceremonially welcome your death ship. What do plants want with metal in any case?
Winslade asked. We both looked at him.
That ship they used to follow my freighter and attack, Claver said. It was metal, or at least it had some metal parts.
Winslade nodded. I suppose some parts of a starship have to be metal.
There you have it, Claver said with a helpless shrug. It was a tragedy all the way around. You gentlemen have my utmost sympathy. If this briefing is over, I'd like to recover to my stateroom.
Winslade's gun jabbed him again. This time it was a hard poke in the ribs. Claver grunted and clutched a spot there. As I watched, it began to ooze blood and turn purple. As I said, Winslade commented in a languid voice, it will take time to get to the truth. Fortunately, I have time. Claver's eyes were wide open now. He looked like a caged animal. I did my best to look unsympathetic, but I was starting to feel he'd told his story. It sounded real enough.
Various bastards, Claver said. What do you want me to say? If the truth isn't good enough for you, maybe you should just write it down for me so I can sign it. That would save us all a lot of time and trouble.
Winslade lowered his gun. Instead of aiming it at Claver's gut, he aimed it at his foot.
You have far too many toes, in my opinion. We'll begin removing the excess shortly. Every 30 seconds I'll remove another until we run out. Then we'll stop for some blood staunching and get to work on these fingers. I might have to reload as well.
There was steel in Winslade's eyes. I could see it. He might be an arrogant prick, but he had a spine when it came to dealing out pain. Claver saw it, too. He believed, and he buckled.
You prick, he said. I was on the ship. I died there, just like I said. What else do you want from me?
I want to hear what you know about these creatures. Why might they be following you? Why did they attack you? And how did they come to be here on this world that was supposedly uninhabited?
I never said I was out here at all. Wherever here is, I told you I was on my way to Earth.
Winslade nuzzled Claver's toes with the barrel of his pistol. Claver twitched while Winslade remained strangely expressionless.
I'm getting bored, Winslade said, selecting a toe.
It was the middle one on Claver's left foot.
Hold him, veteran.
They're called the Whirr, Claver said suddenly. It's a squid word, I believe. Basically, they're pod people. They come from beyond our frontier.
All right, then, Winslade said. We're getting somewhere. Where are these creatures from?
I don't know.
Winslade walked angrily to his desk and brought up a star map.
This is where we are now, Claver, he said, tapping the K-class star labeled L-374. What do you know about it?
Claver eyed the map.
Out there, huh? That planet is uninhabited.
Wrong, Winslade said. The planet was marked as uninhabited because that was true when it was last surveyed by the Empire. But that was probably 300 years ago, before the Industrial Revolution back on Earth. Can you explain the discrepancy?
Maybe. 300 years, that's plenty of time for the Whirr to seed a planet.
A whisper of a smile played on Winslade's mouth.
I'm a little surprised, he said. I honestly thought I'd have to remove appendages before you'd confess to treason.
First off, Claver retorted, I only talked because I know you're a cold snake that would actually follow through.
And you were correct.
But secondly, I have to ask, Primus, by what stretch of the imagination does my helpful information amount to treason?
Winslade sucked in a breath through his narrow nostrils. He raised a skinny index finger to his nose and tapped it there.
You could not have this information without having dealt with this enemy. Clandestine interactions with a renegade alien species amount to treason, not just on Earth, but by the laws of the Galactic Empire itself. Further, you have withheld information concerning this enemy when first questioned. Let us call that a second count of treason.
Let's not, Claver said. Okay, you have me, or at least this version of me. Let's talk business. I want a signed immunity agreement, then I'll tell you what else I know.
I have another proposal, Winslade said, his eyes flashing dangerously.
At that moment, Winslade's tapper began beeping. I knew that sound. There was an emergency call coming in. Winslade stepped away and consulted his arm. Mine began flashing and beeping as well. We both looked up at one another at the same moment after reading the incoming priority message. The giants from the forest. They were on the march.